Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Wow. You guys are on fire today. You can take your seats. Lois, that I specifically asked for that song to be sung this morning. I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. So we'll just get the elephant out of the room. Dave bought me for the boots for Christmas. Okay, right. So, elephant out of the room. So, he's not here. Has anyone seen Tristan Shelley's shirt this morning? He's wearing this shirt. It's like a Hawaiian shirt, but it's an Australian shirt. Because it was Australia Day yesterday, which is basically like St. George's Day. And I did tell him, I said, Tristan, you do realise it's 2 degrees outside, don't you? Anyway, it's a perfect bridge for the start of my message. I'm really, really believing that God's going to do something very powerful today. Because I have written this message out of my own revelation. And I believe God's going to do something very significant in our hearts today. So I am Australian. But listen, this week I presented my documents. Yes, I did. This is one step further now, people. I did the British test last year. You're all saying, I know you've been 28 years. Just come with me. It takes a while. And then I paid a very large amount of money. And I presented my documents this week, which they photographed. They took my fingerprints and took a mugshot. And so now I am probably 6 months away till I, because it'll take a while for them to process all that stuff. And I'm going to become British. So, yes. So I went out to a little town called Swinton. I don't know why they don't do it in Sheffield. I went out to this little town called Swinton during this week and sat there and I felt like I was in trouble because they wanted to see my birth certificate, my marriage certificate, my husband's passport, my old passport, my stamp of indefinite leave to remain. They wanted to know the time I came into the country, the first time. I don't know. It was in 1991. And so poor Hayley, my PA, because you're not allowed to have been out of the country too much in the last 5 years. And so Hayley sat there, I don't know how long, she was such a good job, and she wrote every single trip I've taken in the last 5 years. And I think I made it by how many days? 9 days of the, and how much was I allowed out in the last 5 years? 100 and something days, and I made it in, so I can become part of you. So, but cutting back to it, I'm Australian. And I was taught that winning was everything. So Australians are a funny breed because I've lived outside for so long, I can sort of look back in on the culture, right? We think the whole world is watching us win sporting events. But the fact is, nobody cares. We are taught in Australia that we always have to win because there is an inbuilt insecurity in the nation because basically, we are descendants of convicts that you sent. But I have traced my DNA back, and actually when I found my real family, I'm actually the descendant of a free settler. Yes, I am not a convict, so don't think about that. Don't say that to me anymore. I am the descendant. And did you know that my relatives planted the first vineyard in the Barossa Valley? So I'm from old wine stock. And for those of you that know me, I don't drink, so it's all very strange. So we were taught as kids that we had to win and basically to beat our inbuilt convict insecurity. We were taught that coming first is top of the world, but I've been really challenged to say, or is it? Is coming second better? Is the second thing more powerful than the first? A very common comment is, I've got my second wind. like a sudden burst of energy that propels you into the next season. But the elephant in the room is that in order to say you have a second wind, you must have made the mental note, I need a second wind. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, yes. I needed to take that mental note. I need a second wind. I need a second move of the Holy Spirit. I need a new season. I need to step into the next thing. You must have felt the lethargy and the tiredness and the sapping of life strength that demands a need for the second wind or the second word. You must need in your heart that much used moment when God came a second time. When the first was faded memory and the second was the choice. So today the second wind is going to be our choice as a church. When was second even the choice when first was always sought after? Because the second wind speaks of so much more. It speaks of provision and breakthrough and of direction and of purpose when the first has lost its flavor and the second is life. Are you sitting on the edge of your chair? I'm going to turn slightly. I love you all, but there's more people in this direction today, which is unusual. Ooh. I'm going to tell you today the story of Jonah. And there's this famous verse in Jonah 3, verse 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So let me read to you. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it so the scripture will come up, but I'm going to jump. And I'm going to read to you the word of God, the story of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. We move on. Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. This was speaking to Jonah. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And a bit further on, Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm. And now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to, I think I would too. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the deep realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths. Key phrase. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents swirled around me and all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, amongst other things, I would imagine, in the belly of a whale. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, O Lord, you brought my life up from the pit. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited. It vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then in chapter 3, the verse I said before, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Firstly, I want to talk to you this morning about the design of the depths. Jonah had been a naughty boy. Don't look at me like that. You have two. Naughty boy, naughty girl, all of us. That's why we need Jesus. And he ran away from the complexity and difficulty of the plan of God, which is no different to most of us most days of the week. It's not always obvious, but it's often in our hearts. Hello. Sometimes we're running so fast, we are going slow. And firstly, he was thrown overboard and he was used as the scapegoat for the salvation of others. That story too seems to be one I've heard before. Jesus was the scapegoat for the sin of us all. Next, he gets chucked overboard, seeming to die in a raging sea. It became nice and calm for everybody else. Hello. When you're in the midst of a raging sea, you're looking at everybody else thinking it's all right for you. Hello. Common human experience. He was thrown to the elements, thrown to the wolves, chucked into the wilderness, chucked under the bus. And so profound it threatened his life. And then it said, now the Lord provided a fish to swallow Jonah. The randomness of the things God uses to throw us against the rock of ages. We are just too capable. In 2019, we are too Western, too capable, too got it all together. And so God uses the most unusual depth experiences, like the belly of a whale, to actually catch our attention. God had provided a vehicle of design, a transport mechanism to take him to his ultimate destiny. But it wasn't a pleasant experience. Am I talking to anyone today? God gives us a transport mechanism to move us into our destiny that looks not good, that doesn't feel pleasant, that has seaweed wrapped around your beautiful face. And all the while, it was God's mechanism to move you. For 3 days, he had seaweed wrapped around his head in the belly of a whale. Wasn't a good week. It didn't look good. I can't even imagine whale bile. He didn't look good. I imagine he didn't feel good because, you know, there's fish and fish. He would have been surrounded by all sorts of rancid stuff. I'm talking about your life experience here. He didn't reek of success. In fact, he reeked of fish guts. This is the truth of the story. But this was God's vehicle of design. It was ugly, unpleasant, unattractive, and looked like failure. Welcome to life. When it's unpleasant, it doesn't look good, it reeks of failure. Has the promotion into your destiny taken an ugly turn? Where the seeming turn of events has taken you into a place where you cried out for your very life. This was the longest 3 days ever, where nothing seemed to be changing. In your life, this is the longest 3 days ever, where nothing seemed to be changing, but in this moment, God captured your attention. When you just committed yourself to your Savior and said, it's okay. I'm here. I don't know what it's about, but I accept that you're with me. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Once again, I can think of one other person we know whose life looked like it was over for 3 days and three nights. And that was our Jesus, when it looked like everything had failed. But in those 3 days of depths of his experience led to an incredible resurrection and led to you sitting in church today. That's our Jesus. The only thing that promotes us into the second wind is the failure of the first. So you are today on the edge of your second, Because the only thing that got you there is that you failed in the first. So then what happened? In Jonah 2, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on a dry land." I love that word. After 3 days, Jonah was vomited into his destiny. He didn't get the coolest of entrances. Turned up on the outskirts of Tarshish, smelling of vomit. Now, I have a story to tell, and I asked permission. A very special worship leader called Lois. And because you know when you're writing a message, think, how can I illustrate the moment? So Lois, I'm trying to get this right, when she was pregnant with Amaya, I was trying to go Maya or Amaya, my brain was, yeah, you caught me, you knew what I was thinking, didn't you? She went to preach, she was very far on in the pregnancy, and she went to preach in this church, which will remain nameless. She was feeling rather sick. Joe's like cringing now. Lois was feeling rather sick in the pulpit. And as she was preaching, she had a need to run very fast. And so she ran to the bathroom and was violently sick. But it gets better because Lois just didn't decorate the toilet. Lois decorated her clothes and her hair, everything. But the story gets even better. There's a knock-knock on the toilet door. The pastor from the church asking Lois to get back on the platform and finish the message. So Lois, reeking from a vomit situation, the failure of the first, rocks back onto the stage, covered hair and clothes, and I imagine a taste in one's mouth, and completes the word of God. Give the woman a hand. Give the woman a hand. Let it be said, we will probably not be going to that church again, because that was cruel. They should have just got up there and said she's not well. I mean, I would hope that you wouldn't demand, if I was vomiting out the back, "Come back, Jen, feed me. Feed me, feed me." Do you know I had an awful year, just the most amazing year last year. I had food poisoning 3 times. I got to KL. I'm not going to tell that story. And Gozzy said, "Don't worry, because the church would never respect me again." But I got food poisoning so badly, I ended up in hospital. I missed the entire women's conference in Kuala Lumpur, missed the whole thing, too sick. And by sheer determination on the Sunday morning, I could barely walk. I sat on a stool and preached the message Sunday morning to KL and then flew home the next day. So that was a waste, wasn't it? I'm just trying to like calm you down before I go for the throat here. This was Jonah's violent transition to land in his place of destiny. And if it feels like your transition season has been violent, this is what happened with Jonah. He rocked up at his destiny. He reeked of failure. He was covered in vomit. Nothing made sense. And he rocks up at his destiny. He rocks up violently spewed into the place that he was meant to be. It seems transition into where God wants you sometimes can be a violent experience. But he landed on the right shore, in the right place, at the right time. So whatever violent experience you're going through right now, that you're trying to curse it, you're trying to bind it, you're trying to blame people for it, let me tell you today, it's God getting a hold of you to take you through a violent transition to get you into the place that you're designed to be. It had been a deadly, miraculous experience when Jonah was violently propelled into where he was meant to be, thrown hard against the Rock of Ages. There is always a violent launch pad into big breakthroughs. It's like the violent shuddering G-force of an astronaut taking off into outer space. It's the forgotten Joseph in prison who saved a generation from famine. It's the imprisoned Paul who brought Jesus to Rome. It's the violent death of Jesus whose suffering brought salvation. It's the violent spitting out. It's the transition. It's the beginning of the second chapter, the place where God spoke to Jonah a second time, the beginning of the outworking of the purposes of God. So if you have been through a violent transition, or today you are in a violent transition, welcome to the fact that God is taking you somewhere and he's not letting you go. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And then the second wind came. The second word. The belief of God in you and his strength within you. The God who never stops taking you somewhere. Who uses the violence of transition for your promotion into your next season. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. He doesn't stop in the middle. But even more profoundly, in Jonah 3 verse 3 it says, now Nineveh was a very large city and it took 3 days to go through it. The future God has for you has much more. A bigger dream and vision for using your life than you ever imagined. Nineveh was a big city. It took 3 days to go through it. And your violent transition, that shuddering G-force that has got you to this place, is because his vision for your life is bigger than you have for your own. God has a very large city in mind for you. And what you have been through has brought you to this place of the second wind and the second word. I wonder if the musicians could come up. You have not been through what you've been through by accident, but rather by design. The only reason you get your second wind is that the first was not where God wanted you to be. Our breakthrough is to thank God for the first. Hello, did you hear that? Our breakthrough is to thank God. I have learned to kiss the waves that have thrown me against the Rock of Ages. I read this amazing verse in Song of Songs, in the Passion Version. The sweet fragrance of my praise perfume awakened the night. We're going to have a moment in church this morning. We're going to thank God for the first. We're going to thank God for every single thing we've been through because it has thrown us hard against the Rock of Ages. We're going to thank God for all the things that have been hard and hard to face and things that you tried to curse and bind, and today you realize they were actually the plan of God to pull you and throw you violently into the destiny that God has for you. You've learned to kiss the Rock of Ages. You have been thrown violently, but you have been thrown violently into a place so wonderful. Into a place so wonderful that you have to meet the provision of heaven. That you can't provide for yourself. The place of miracles. The place of the second word and the second wind. wonder if you'd stand with me. And I'm going to ask Lois again to sing that song, I Have Learned to Kiss the Waves. Amen.
I've learned.
Come on, lift your hand.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.